Welcome to the Talk Show with Brian Allen on AM 920 CKNX.
Joining us this morning to talk about dining etiquette, how to mind our manners at the table over the holiday, is David Rothschild. Hi, David.
Hey, Brian. Good morning. How are you?
Good to have you. I'm great. Good to have you with us.
Thanks.
Generally speaking, how are we doing in terms of social graces these days? Are we letting our manners slip a little bit?
Yeah, we are. And I think we all know it. And we just don't have the time or the energy to do something about it. But we're just we're not starting early enough. And we've got to start as soon as the kids can hold a fork. That's when we got to start.
Yeah, I guess in some ways we think these days that, you know, dressing up for dinner and following etiquette throughout dinner and at a party is sort of old-fashioned, isn't it? It's not very hip anymore.
Well, what happens is we're not doing any of that at the house. When I do workshops, I always ask the group, we do a lot of high school groups, and I always ask the group, how many of you sit and have dinner as a family on a regular basis? And the hands that go off are approximately 10%. And we just don't tend to sit and eat as a family anymore, and it has to do with the dynamics of the family, with the two working parents, et cetera. And we just don't give the kids the opportunity to learn the rules of dining.
Yeah, it's hard to practice dining etiquette when you have a couple of pizza boxes sitting in the middle of the table, right?
Exactly.
And the television blaring.
Exactly. Everybody's taking a TV tray and watching TV. It's very tough. And I have people all the time asking, well, are there two sets of rules, you know, those at the house and those when you go out? That's way too confusing. And, you know, I think you've got to demonstrate the rules and practice it at home before you go out to a restaurant.
Exactly. Talk about some of the glaring errors that people make when sitting down to a formal dinner.
Well, the most common error in formal dining is using the wrong bread and butter plate. It sounds pretty absurd, but it is. It's using the wrong bread and butter plate. We were at a dinner in Atlanta, Georgia here, and we were the last two people to arrive at a table for 10, and our bread and butter plates were gone. And so we had to ask the server for another couple of bread and butter plates, and now that we're 12 on the table for 10, we call it the domino effect. As soon as one person uses the wrong bread and butter plate, it just rotates around.
Everybody does. All right, let's take a look at the typical setting then for dinner. Where should the bread and butter plate be? Where should the knives and forks and spoons be? Take us a bit through this.
All right. The thing I do for little ones, and I think it's a really good demonstration for them to remind them, I have them make what we used to call a three-ring sign. I grew up in New York. It was a three-ring sign. I grew up in New York, and I was make a three-ring sign for Valentine's beer for the New York Yankees. But you make a circle with your thumb and your index finger, and you hold up the other three fingers. And if you look at both hands, if you do that, the left hand looks like a B, and the right hand looks like a D. And so I remind them that B is for your bread, and D is for your drinks. And I have all little kids orient themselves as soon as they sit down. Okay, B, that means my bread and butter is on my left, and D, well, my drinks are on the right. And that really is helpful. So your bread and butter is on your left, your drinks are on the right, silverware is set out in the order of its usage, so nothing is set out on the table to fool you. It's set out in the order of its usage. Here in the States, and I suspect in Canada as well, as I'm not quite as familiar with the intricacies of Canadian etiquette, we generally tend to eat our salad after the main course. So, before the main course, we would set the salad fork outside or to the left of the dinner fork. And in Europe and in parts of South America, of course, we set it the other way. We would put the larger fork, the dinner fork, on the outside, and next to it, to the right of it, we would set out the salad fork. Everything's set out in the order of its usage. And if we remember that tables are set for right-handed people, because most of us are right-handed, then we'll remember that the glasses on our right-hand side are ours, and the cup and saucer, if there's one set out, is ours, and not the ones that are closest to our left hand.
So let me ask you this. So I know I see this quite often. It seems like smorgasbord style is big these days.
Yes.
And I've noticed, at a recent party, and, you know, everybody seemed to be doing it, but they would go up, and in Canada, it's customary to eat the salad before you eat the main course. But what people would do, I suppose because they were afraid that maybe, you know, all the potatoes would be gone or something, but they'd go up, and they'd sort of juggle two plates, and they'd fill salad on one, and then they'd have the main course, and then they'd end up carrying two plates.
Yeah, you used exactly the term that I use when I'm doing a workshop, and that's juggling. You never want to appear that you're juggling. And when people ask us, are there really rules for buffets? Well, there are rules for buffets, and the primary rule is not to overfill your plate, not to have this overflowing plate. You really shouldn't be juggling plates. It's one plate at a time. And what we always suggest is make several trips. You know, do your salads first, and then come back and do your hot food. I hate to see people sitting at a table with two plates, and they're eating their salad while their hot food's getting cold. It makes no sense to us. So do it in several trips. Don't be juggling plates. And some other rules of buffet etiquette, you never go back to the buffet table with the plate that you've eaten from.
Oh, is
that
right?
Important,
okay.
Because you don't want to... You know, you don't want to spread the germs that are potentially on your plate by using the community utensil that might touch your plate and then spread it to the food.
How many times do you see people do that, though?
You see it all the time.
Yeah.
Restaurants, what they do is they station somebody there, and hopefully with a good sense of humor, they'll say something like, oh, we got lots of plates, let me change that for you. Because we shouldn't allow people to go through a buffet a second time with a plate that they've eaten off of. The other thing that I'd like to mention about buffets is, and this is a tough one because it's even tough for me, is you shouldn't be eating while you're going through the buffet. You shouldn't be nibbling on the way through a buffet. And you do that all the time.
Yeah, picking up the carrot sticks and so on.
Exactly. Speaking of carrot sticks, here we call that crudité, and carrot sticks, celery sticks, and you've all seen kids do this, and they'll take their carrot stick and they'll put it in the ranch dressing and they'll take a bite and put it back in the ranch dressing. You know, we call that double dipping, of course. And a conscientious server or a conscientious host or hostess has, you know, got to take that dip now and exchange it for a fresh one because it's contaminated for everybody else behind them. So no double dipping on a buffet table.
When you arrive, of course, you pick up your dinner roll or whatever, or you're taking a slice of bread. I've seen people, you know, take a slab of butter and butter the bread or the roll as they're moving down the line.
Yeah, and this just would hold for either the buffet or a sit-down. You know, you put your, if you're at the sit-down, you take your bread, you put it on your bread and butter plate from the community bread, you take a pat of butter and put it on your bread and butter plate from the community plate, and bread's to be broken. You break off a piece, you butter it.
Don't hack it apart with a knife.
Don't hack it apart with a knife. It's a slice of bread or a roll. You don't butter, you don't flatter the whole roll. It's more, you break off a piece, you butter that piece, you eat that piece. And then you leave your bread and butter plate where it is. People tend to take their bread and butter plate and move it to the center of what we call the cover, the center of their plate setting. And then when the next course comes, there's no place for the main course. Just leave it where it is. It starts either to the left of your fork or above your fork, and it stays there. It doesn't move.
I find that, so you say you break a piece of bread, butter it. Don't butter the whole roll, for
example. You don't butter the whole roll or the whole slice of bread. Break off a piece, and that's the piece you butter and eat.
Here's one that I find a lot of people having trouble with, and that's the napkin.
Napkins go in your lap as soon as you sit down. You can take your cue from your hostess, but in general, as soon as you sit down, your napkin goes in your lap. Now, there's lots of things you do with your napkin. You take a bite, you touch your lips with your napkin. First of all, you spread the napkin across your lap. And this is really interesting to me because young people today don't know what to do with the napkin. They leave it where it starts, either to the left of the setting or in the center belong in your lap. They don't belong as a bib in your shirt. They do go in your lap, and another one thing I always tell kids is it's napkin to lips, not lips to napkin. And if you can picture that. And some things we don't do with our napkin. We don't blow our nose in our napkin. We don't blot our lips with our napkin. We don't put our napkin at the end of the meal in our plate that's full of sauce because somebody's got to deal with that napkin. Then the question arises, what do you do with your napkin when you have to be excused to check your makeup, to check your hair, to pick your teeth? And by the way, none of those things should be done at the dinner table. You excuse yourself. You go to the restroom. A lot of etiquette books say, I'm put on lipstick, or you can touch up your makeup as long as you're in it. I say nonsense. You know, you wouldn't want people to be watching you do that at the house. Why should they have to watch you do that in the dining room? Excuse yourself. Go to the restroom. The last part of that about picking your teeth, I know that sounds absurd. But we were at a wedding a number of years back, and two tables down from me, a guy was flossing.
Oh, my God.
Who wants somebody to floss at the dinner table?
Oh, that would be the end of the night for me.
That was really bad. So anyway, what to do with your napkin when you excuse yourself? Most people put it in your seat, and I say your butt goes in your chair. You don't want to put your napkin there because then you're going to be reusing your napkin. All you do is just kind of fold up your napkin and put it to the left of your setting. That's it.
You know, a lot of it's common sense, isn't it?
Absolutely. Common sense, but not intuitive. Somebody's got to show you it once. So we have to do a better job, and it's really important that we sit down and try to have dinner as a family on a regular basis. Studies show that the single strongest predictor of student test scores and behavior are dining together as a family, more so than even attending school or after-school activities or sports. Dining together as a family has more of an impact on student achievement and behavior.
Always a pleasure, David.
Brian, it's my pleasure. Always nice talking with you. Happy holidays to you and your family and your listeners.
And the same to you and yours.
And we look forward to speaking with you another time.
Absolutely, David. All the best. Thank you. Thank you very much. There we go. Interesting guy.